Hey, Elliot. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Valley Cast, starring Elliot Morgan of the Valley Folk and Joe Barrett of the Valley Folk. Steve is taking a hiatus today because he's got a lot on his plate, including first time show. And we were like, yo, Steve, take a break, dude.
Yeah. I was wondering what the reason was. I couldn't remember. I was like, I was talking to somebody outside. I forget her name. I've been with her for a while. I've been living with her for a long time, but I can't.
Tracy.
You know,
Tracy.
Tracy, yeah. But I was like, yeah, I have no idea why Steve isn't. But he's doing first time show today or more.
Yes,
of it?
He's starting a new first time show. I think it's the Lovecraft show. I think they decided.
Yeah, are you going to watch that?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I might, because everybody's talking about it. And when I say everybody, I mean Steve. And Steve, when I say everybody and I say Steve, that means like, what, I don't know, at least
that's
33% of the people that I interact with on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it sounds like it's good, but I don't know crap about it. And that's kind of exciting.
It looks too, I really want to watch it, but it looks really scary. Also, if you want, since I have you on the podcast here, Joe, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. And if you would like to be a part of this magical journey that we're going on, which we're going to talk about in this particular episode, feel free to get ahead of the curve by joining us at patreon.com/thevalleyfolk. Anyway, do you want to come over later? What are you doing?
Yeah, that sounds good. Actually,
Sarah and Claudio are coming over.
I really want to, and I always have an excuse, but my excuse this time is the kids start school tomorrow, and my life is about.
That's what I figured.
It's about to turn upside down. So I got to make sure all the technical aspects of doing online school with two kids at once, who both need a computer to do it and need isolation to be able to concentrate. I got to make sure that happens. And the other like unfortunate part of it all is that Hayden is going to be very good at being self-sufficient and being able to do it herself.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Jackson's incapable first grader. So I'm going to...
Okay, so they both have computers, and they both look at the teacher on the video
chat? Yeah, and our school, and it's different for every school, but our school specifically is requiring that you are there for live instruction. That's how they're doing if you're absent or not. And it's kind of a nightmare. At first I was like, well, yeah, that makes sense. But then it doesn't, because most of these families got to work and parents have to work. And
what
you have to be able.
Yeah. How would you call an absent? How do you, can you miss school?
Yes, you can miss school. You have to just notify the office like you normally would, because they're taking attendance. You have to be there in person online, and it doesn't make a lot of sense. I get why they're doing it, but they should also be offering video instruction that you could watch at any time. And
yeah,
but again, I'm just giving nothing but the benefit of the doubt and props to the school and any educator, any teacher going through all of this, because it's been a nightmare for everybody, but especially for them lately. One of the teachers dropped off some supplies earlier in the summer, because Hayden's doing yearbook this year, which is what a fun year to do yearbook.
That's hilarious. Is she in the photography department?
Yeah,
I hope she's in the photography department.
She wants to do photos, and I think that's hilarious.
That's great.
But
does everyone at home?
Yeah. Teacher dropped stuff off, and we just had casual conversation for a moment, and she was like, she revealed that like all the teachers were scared for their freaking lives. Like they were being, there was the rhetoric in the country of just force them back to school because they should be in school. And these teachers were like, I have friends that have died already.
Isn't that like, yeah. And then you see the whatever the Georgia school is, that with the whole, all that drama with the girl who took the photo and everything. And then they're like, they clear everybody out and they do like a deep cleaning. Mm-hmm. But then apparently that like doesn't, that's not the point. Like that doesn't help anything.
Yeah.
But then out here people are like,
yep,
not at all opening it. So they were all freaked out and were like worried that the governor wasn't gonna like keep them from going back,
the teachers specifically,
or that they would have to.
Well, yeah, because it was all up in the air for I think teachers across the country, and it's different for every district and every school. But to not, like, these teachers know that they shouldn't be in closed quarters with a bunch of children possibly spreading a deadly disease. And you know, you're scared for your students, you're scared for your students' family, and then outside of all that, we know how teachers are. It's like they put themselves pretty far down on the list. It's like, oh yeah, I'm scared for me and my family as well.
Do you think it makes it easier for them, though, a little bit to do it from home? Like, if that kid runs and puts his finger in a socket, like, that's not that teacher's. That's on, there's only so much they can do.
That's on mom. I think it's, yes, I think for some teachers it will be, like, some of them are probably looking forward to it, but I.
Like that biology teacher that we all had in high school that didn't really give a crap because he was mostly the coach.
Yeah.
He's probably
mostly the coach. That's a great name for a television show.
He's mostly the coach.
Welcome.
Have you heard of the, there's a new, Bill Lawrence show out on Apple TV that I'm going to watch, but that's beside the point. And it's about a coach played by Jason.
Oh yes. It was based off of a freaking, advertisement. He played that character.
Oh really?
I forget what it was for, some insurance company or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I saw a review. I saw the headline of a review that I did not read that said something along the lines of, this news Jason Sudeikis show should not be as good as it is.
Yeah, we saw the same thing. Yeah, and that's the extent of depth. That was the whole
thing. That's all I needed.
We're just seeing all the same stuff separately in our houses, watching the
Elliot,
same commercials
and
seeing
together.
The same Reddit
guys,
posts.
Guys, it's cats out of the bag. Ellie and I live together, and we've been living together for a long time.
That's the name. It's Joe. Oh, my gosh. Finally got it. It's not Stacy. That was close. So what are you going to do? Are you going to stay at home all the time and teach your kids? How does this affect my life, Joe?
Well, it might affect your life in as we are getting going. When we go back to the office, which is something we'll talk about here in a little bit, kind of the state of the valley is what Elliot and I wanted to do a little bit. I just might have to do later in the day stuff because Hayden goes till 12 and then Jackson goes till 1 and then they have like Fridays off. It's weird. We're all figuring it out, but it would just be a later in the day thing.
Yeah, that's easy. I thought maybe I was going to get like a subject to teach him.
We could do that.
Maybe we'd have to divvy it up.
There could be some tutoring involved, and we could take a little bit of your animal knowledge and maybe present that to Hayden, who's going to be in eighth grade science, which isn't far away from maybe taking a zoology course or something like that.
Great. I'll do it. Whatever it is.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Or history. Give me one that's... Give me the math. Give me math. That weird core curriculum.
You want to do some Common Core? You want to figure that out?
Common Core, that's what
you
want
to do. The thing where you look at it for 10 seconds and you go, what the hell's going on? This is multiplication, and I can't understand it. And then, like, you got to teach yourself their way of doing it, and then also show yourself your old way of doing it. It's actually kind of fascinating when you have the time and the patience.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed cool. Speaking of fascinating, dude, that article, I don't think Grace has read it yet, but that Vanity Fair article that you sent me about Stephen Miller and his wife, who is from UF, Go Gators, that was like, I was glued to my phone last night, and like, we were watching Unwell. Have you seen Unwell?
Uh-huh.
Any of the Unwell is amazing. The first episode's really good. It's on essential oils, and it's basically like these like snake oil, you know,
yeah.
It would be like bee sting therapy, and tantric sex is another one. And
love tantric sex.
A bunch of others. They're really good. And I was really into it. But then I was just like reading this article, and I was like, this is the most insane dramatic movie, like melodrama thing. But man.
Like the descriptive writing of the author of that piece immediately, you know, showcase to you what side of the debate of this human being that they were on.
Oh, so smart.
It was very funny. I was like,
the subtlety.
Yeah, this is like not a middle of the road article, but holy crap,
no.
That person is at the head of the line right now, and it is scary.
It's very scary. The writer, though, my favorite line that they said was, meanwhile, Stephen Miller's soulmate was coming of age. It's just a subtle way of being like, meanwhile, the person that he married was a child up until this point. It's very good.
The author was not a fan, as some might say. Man, frightening stuff, though,
I'm going to follow.
Very.
What are we talking about, Joe? We're talking about the company.
Let's talk about the company. Let's talk about life. Let's do all of it. Let's do it all, baby.
Okay.
God, February. February is when we stopped. Mid-February.
Yes.
So, March, April, May, June, July, August. We haven't worked in the same space for almost half a year.
Yes, correct.
That's insane. That's mind-boggling. But I give us mighty internet props because we found a way to still make stuff work. So props to you and Kevin and Kate and Steve. Like, we've produced a lot of stuff.
We've kept it going. It's the behind the scenes existential dread, I think, that has been nagging at our ankles.
That's the tough part. I think we've all found varying degrees depending on the day and who it is. Everybody.
Do you feel like you're out of it, or do you feel like you're just still going up?
Still
and down?
Up and down. I think I've been on an out of it run for a little bit, which is why I've been kind of productive on some of the stuff that I've been trying to get done. You as well, and we've all been like,
oh, I've hit
behind the scenes without telling anybody's stories. We've all just been going through the ringer. Like, everybody just seems to be, if it's not me one week, it's, you know, it's you or Steve or Kevin or Kate. Like, we've all just had our plates full, and we've been picking each other up and picking up whatever. I don't even like to use the word slack, because it's derogatory in this instance, but we've just been picking each other
Kevin,
up, you know.
I think Kevin called it rolling with the punches, that phrase, whatever that is.
Yeah.
A lot of that. A lot of just like taking it on the chin and being like, okay, you got that. All right. Okay. Okay. Hence, we have a lot of, you know, these types of situations. I feel like I'm getting out of it now, but I also feel like maybe I'm just, who knows? There's always some little valley right around the corner, but it feels, no pun intended.
Remind me when we're done talking about the company and the stuff, because I want to talk about the positive things that we've been working on. I'll tell you about the freaking punch that I just took this weekend, which was,
oh really,
like, again, great. got to the apex of the roller coaster.
So we'll end on a fun note.
Well, it goes low, but then it hopefully gets itself up again. Anyways, so
it's elixir away. It starts.
We've been
She's vacuuming. That's a very rare.
I can very hear that.
Yeah. Like, I've never in my life. That's so funny. We're normally so considerate of each other's like recording that I'll like leave the house.
Hey babe, you using a weed eater, babe?
Hey baby. Hey Grace.
She knows.
What you doing?
She knows. She's weed eating.
That was just real loud. I love you. It's okay. It was very funny.
I love you too. Goodbye.
Can't let me do back. She starts again.
So yeah, we've been, I've been kind of like, I've called what we've here at the Valley Folk have been doing for 6 months now. Treading water, trying to keep our head above. We're not necessarily making headway on the river. It's more like we're swimming against the current a little bit, but again, proud of what we've done, but I feel like we're trying to mentally turn a corner now and try some things both individually and collectively.
Yes, I would agree. We got to get back in the office.
I think that's the next thing. I think we do a little group testing, make sure we're all good, and then we just go for it. Because what are we if we're not a little cluster with one another? Our cluster's small.
We're a little germ. Yeah, we're a little tiny. All of the germs separately, it's sort of like the mitochondria, you know, and all that. And then they come together and they form a whole cell and a sort of amoeba.
Yeah, we're an incel.
That doesn't really
make
any sense.
We're a comedy incel.
It explains the incestuousness of it. Yeah.
Yeah, so okay. So
that's a good way to put it.
For the people that are listening, some of the things that we are working on that we're excited about. Very soon, we'll be releasing some new merch that I've been working on. We're going to do like a fall line with some new hoodies and some new beanies and the patrons. Patreon's been rocking. The patrons have been voting on what those should be. And before that, and it might even start this next week, I'm going to do a huge flash sale in the store and just get rid of all of our stuff. So you guys can look forward to that if there's things that you haven't got yet. We also dropped the Discord on the Patreon this last week. So there's a Valley Folk Discord that is now hopping. More than it ever has. So if that's something you're interested in, please come over to patreon.com/thevalleyfolk.
Can I get into that with just the username that I have here? Like, does it matter?
You're good. Yeah, you can get right up.
I can just go in there.
Yeah.
And is it active? People are in there?
It's actually a very nice, robust community. And I kind of, if I do a lot of my communication with the patrons through Patreon, I also do, the second most is on this Discord. It's actually kind of nice. It's a good little community.
And is it, we have a group that's just for the patrons on the Discord, or the Discord is only
right
patrons?
Now it is a public, it's a public Valley Folk one, but everybody that's in it is most likely a patron, And what gotcha. Is going to officially happen, which is another thing we can talk about as well, is that when the Patreon officially relaunches, it'll be connected to this Discord. I've already talked to a lot of the people that run it, the admins. And what it'll do is that we'll have Patreon exclusive threads within the Discord. So this will still be a public one for anybody and everybody that wants to be part of it. But then there will be some special places that's for cool. the patrons as well.
Smart.
So that's cool.
That sounds fun.
But yeah.
I like that a lot.
And the other thing that I've been working on and making some headway on is this movie game Kickstarter that is forcing me to do things that I haven't done before, forcing me to collaborate in new ways and and get educated on things that I've never done, like manufacturing and fulfillment and all that crap.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Excited, though. And I think I figured it out. And I think I can talk. I want to talk about to you real quick, and I think I have in the past, about where I think it is right now. And I reserve the right for this to change when the Kickstarter is officially released. But let me just throw some things out here, and it'll be some things that we can get feedback on prior to great. Going.
I want to do the same thing, but for my project. Yeah. So ooh, this is perfect.
Okay, so for the Kickstarter, I think I'm going to have like 4 or 5 tiers, the first one being the base pack. The base pack is going to be probably 150 cards, and each of these will come in like 50 card single deck holders, like a pack of cards, you know, like a bicycle playing cards or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to look like VHS tapes, like from the 80s, these packs are. So when you get the first 150 set, it'll come like the Back to the Future trilogy or the Star Wars trilogy when you would get them in a trilogy box set. That is how you would get the card game. And then extensional.
I've seen it. It looks amazing. Yes.
And then there'll be packs.
I've seen a concept.
Yeah. And the concept's cool. And I would love to share it with you guys, but I want to make sure it's where we want it to be first. And then as the tiers go on, second tier will be an expansion pack. Maybe it's like video game, movie game, and it's 50 to 100 cards. And then third might be actor game, which is another iteration. And then I get up into the 4 and 5 tiers, and we get a little bit more exclusive type stuff that might be limited. Like I think I want to make for maybe the level 4 tier, you get all of the expansion packs and the original game, but then there's 4 exclusive pins like Pac-Man that the first 250 or 300 people who order can get. And then after that, I want to do an exclusive poster or print by like a Casey Landerkin or a Tyler Jacobson, or fingers crossed, maybe I could reach out to a Drew Struzan and
love it.
And get some original art made, because on each of the boxes, I'm going to have our commission artists to do 80s era VHS box art for each.
Cool.
For each thing.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm sitting at with it. And it's the next steps are uncertain and scary again, because I've never done them, and I'm fighting through my fear of failure, because I could launch this thing and it could fucking tank, and I got to be okay with that.
It could tank. I mean, for sure. But I mean, I think it won't. I think you're on the right. I think you're doing every note I have in my head when you talk about it. I then think about it and I don't have it anymore. Like I had like everything you're saying from at least from the Kickstarter perspective with the tiers and what you're talking about including and everything. If ever anything like that could be very successful, it seems like this would be that.
Well, and the reason I'm going like with the exclusive extra shit, like the pins and the posters, is because look, I know that the gamification of this concept is hard. It's not like a Cards Against Humanity where you're going to take all these card combinations. Yeah. This is going to be a straight up trivia. There's trivia on the card. The replay value is going to come from you sharing it with more and more people as you play it. But other ways that I'm kind of playing around with the gamification of it would be something like this, and tell me what you think. And you all can give us feedback as well in the comments. But I will have, there'll be a lot of,
don't let him talk to you.
There'll be a lot of information on the card, like there's the prompt, and it'll be the first part of the prompt will be one color, the second part of the prompt will be a second color, indicating where you're talking about a different movie. And then you'll have the answer, the combined word, and underneath the answer is the actual full-out written movie 1 and then movie 2. Now, here's where I'm thinking I can gamify it a little bit more for those people that want it more than just the trivia of movie game in general. It would be thus. gamification number one. I put the years that the movies came out in parentheses after each movie's name. And you could get bonus points as a guesser if you can guess what year the movie came out. And I think that's a fun little, like, extra twist.
That's good.
Now, here's my fun one. And then...
They were all 1994. Every good movie came out in 1994. Didn't you say that? I think that's something you said.
There's a, definitely a bevy of them. And then another idea that I was throwing around is at the end of every game, you also keep an asshole tally. And somebody gets...
That's a good idea.
At the end of the game, somebody gets crowned asshole of the game. And an asshole is the person that... there's not a lot of these, but there's some in there where maybe we dropped an article like a the or an a to make the movies go together. So it's like somebody's like, motherfucker, it's not Terminator. It's the Terminator. And anybody that does that during a game, they get an asshole point. And then at the end of the game, it'll be an asshole leader.
It's a gamification of the game creator's sensitivity toward criticism about his prompts.
Yeah.
It's making sure you feel good. Yeah, well, you're an asshole, so I put it in the game. I'm God.
Yep, exactly. So that's where it's at. That's kind of... It could change. It's going to evolve, I'm sure, but that's where I'm at.
What's the timeline? Like, what are you thinking? Because you've talked about it a little bit, and has anyone from...
Go ahead.
You messed up.
Nope.
Or I thought I messed up. Has anyone from a gaming company like played it, or could you have someone who works in board games test the sort of, is there a focus group kind of thing we can do before you launch?
I think there can be, and I think I'm in talks, or I'm about to have a phone call on Monday with a couple different fulfillment places, but one of them can swiftly make a prototype, and I'm thinking maybe I'll get that done really quick. We can see it and then play it. And
just double check everything.
I just want to make a physical thing. I think it'd be cool to do it. And in success, if this does very well, you know, movie, TV, like all this smashing concept can go outside of the realm of entertainment things that we watch. I could do it with anything.
Yeah.
So if people really enjoy it, we could just start a little side hustle where we're constantly releasing fun expansion packs and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the potential for it is huge. I think people would like. I mean, also, I mean, it's a very smart. It is the flagship show, so it's just a great. It's a great idea, Joe. It's a great idea. You should be very proud of yourself.
Yeah, I'm just trying to take
when
the
it's successful. Until then, you second guess everything.
And I will. Don't you worry, my friend. So that's where that's at. I just recorded with Kasim G and the Willems for another episode coming up, and that was fun. So that,
how's Kasim doing? He seems like a real sweetheart these days.
That's what he is. He's a sweetheart, and he's very nice, and he's kind, and he gifted me with his time, and he's kind of like in the midst of returning to YouTube and making stuff again. So it's kind of fun.
Good for him. Wonderful.
Such a nice dude. So that's the movie game stuff that I've been kind of behind the scenes trying to move forward as best as possible while we all deal with our bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have a project that I want you to talk about that you're working on.
Well, I don't know where I'm at with it, Joe, because I've written about 7,000 things, and I feel this innate hatred of anything I write after I'm done writing it, like really bad. And I know there's the second guessing and all that stuff. But I'm wondering if maybe this show that I'm thinking of is more of an interview-based show, almost like a millennial or YouTube-style Charlie Rose or someone who did in-depth interviews from my perspective, or me being the interviewer.
Yeah.
And I like that a little bit more, but it's going to take a little bit more production and time and getting different people. But people I thought about having as guests would be all over the place, sometimes personal guests who have interesting stories or guests from my personal life, and then professional guests, but people who I at least have some knowledge of, and they have some knowledge of me potentially. So if it was someone in the world of YouTube, you would get like, I won't name names right now, but like people who have been established and done really cool stuff.
Yeah.
So that's where my brain's at. But I would also be curious what people are thinking, because I just feel like when all this like the quippiness and like the being witty and everything, I'm like, even if I make like a really good point in it, I just feel like it's not what I would really want to do. But I do like the idea of doing a bunch of interviews and like really making sure I let the guest talk and not making sure I ramble on and on exactly like I've done this.
So I see what you're saying. You're going from, yeah, I think that's fun and smart because maybe you're just at a time when you don't want to hear yourself. You want to hear other people. And that's a great way to grow, you know? And
you like to think, you wouldn't you?
who knows? What would be tonally, what are you thinking? Is it...
Well, I actually thought about still including Andy, still including Kevin, creating a space where it's like an always in-person interviews. I wouldn't want to do any kind of like Skype thing, distance or whatever, but like lit and like the cameras roll. There's close-ups on the people, but it could be punctuated with either the love on the internet or... Tales from the Internet style, or just more of like a Kevin kind of hot take, adding stuff throughout the interview so that people are watching like both the interview and then either the commentary on the interview or little stuff that's like side notes that we can add to make it more of an
immersive that's fun
experience.
I like that. And I like that what you're talking about with the internet right now is full of quippiness and full of actual hot takes, and to just have a conversation works. And I, you know, that's the magic behind something like Hot Ones. Hot Ones has their
very much like,
you know,
that,
it has its it grabs you with the these people are eating hot stuff, but like it's some of the best just conversation on the net. And it's well, I was gonna say rehearsed, but that's wrong. It's well, they do their homework, they know who they're talking to, they know the past.
That's what I'm thinking. You're freezing a little bit, but
they're researched.
Actually, let me double check. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was thinking. Something where it's like the people feel like the ideal situation, the dream situation would be a type of interview show where people felt like they could trust the people on the show could trust me to actually write questions that they want to be asked, or conversely questions that they don't want to be asked that could be asked in a way that they don't feel threatened by or like freaked out by. Like, I don't want to do like gotcha type stuff, but it also just goes back to all the little nerdy shit that I'm reading where it's like, I don't want to sit around and do this, be in my own head, but maybe it's also, it could be a mix of both. I don't know, but I appreciate you saying that because it felt like, was it The Office? I don't know, Friday or Thursday, but I was like, there's something about this whole thing that isn't, not meshing well. It just felt like more, as much as I would not be pretending to be John Oliver, it felt like everything I was writing was just pretending to be John Oliver.
Oh man, what was the point I was going to make about, everybody feeling like they're having to have a hot take right now is exhausting. Like actually have to say something. And one of the things that we've been battling is how do we be funny? How do we want to be funny with everything going on? And it's harder than people think, but it's also the type of thing where I don't want to complain about it. 'Cause like, oh, look at these guys trying to like be funny and they're complaining about being funny. What a bunch of assholes. It's harder than you think, and it's exhausting, and it also makes you question why you're doing what you do, even though you know.
Very strange.
Yeah.
Like there's a very mentally strange.
Because there's a reason thing, for it, also, you know?
Yeah, and in my brain, it's like, it's also highlighted just like that there, that sense of brattiness of like, oh, come on. But it's like, yeah, no, this is also, this is a great segue to a different conversation. The brattiness, I mean, by the way, of, I feel like it highlights like all of this badness has highlighted how good we do have it. And that only adds pressure to be like, well, now if we have it good and we're not freaking out and we're like doing okay, we should theoretically be like killing it and being like the funniest people ever. But that doesn't seem to be happening. But I do think it's good to know, and I don't, or good to note that we are doing okay. And I feel like, I don't know that people actually understand that, because you sent that message in the text thread that was like one of the patrons reaching out about how much everything meant to them and how like it's felt quiet. Do you want to talk about that or summarize that? I don't know if that person wants to put their stuff out there. But.
Yeah, I mean, to summarize it, it was a very, I sent it to you guys because the words just made me feel cared for.
and seen,
for lack of better words, because he or she basically was like, look, appreciate everything that you guys are doing. I also know that it's hard, and this has been 2020 has been crazy. This year for you guys personally has been crazy. And I just want you to know, from a patron, from a fan that's been there since like Bratz and Beretta through SourceFed, he's just like, look, I'm glad you do it, but if you don't want to do it anymore, just don't. And guess what? That we're okay with that, and I support you in that. Like, he was just very, kind. Yeah. Not like we're leaning that way in any way, shape, or form, but it was just kind of a very thoughtful, caring, reaching out to connect, and I really, really appreciated it.
Joe, tell me some ads. Joe, tell me an ad.
You want to hear an ad? I got an ad for you. Thank you for supporting our podcast ads. We really appreciate it. You're helping keep this thing afloat through some tough times. Guys, there hasn't been a whole lot to smile about these last few months, but things are getting better. For instance, we're on this podcast. Oh. We're talking about how we're trying to make the business better, and we're talking about how we're trying to make our minds better. But you know what's connected closely to our minds?
Our mouths.
Our mouths. Can't help but smile about that, right? Guys, do you have a megawatt smile to show off? If you don't, or if you're insecure about it, I guarantee it's beautiful. But if you want to work on it a little bit more, we got some friends over at Candid that can help. Candid clear aligners are comfortable. They're removable and totally invisible, unlike wire braces. Get out of here, wire braces.
Get out.
Get out. So you can transform your smile without anyone noticing, unless you want to tell them. That's up to you. What Candid is doing here is they're giving you a choice. Your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by a licensed orthodontist who's an expert in tooth movement, not tooth dance. That's a different thing. This is tooth movement. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists. Get out of here, general dentists.
Get out.
And some of those other companies that do work with general dentists may never hear from a doctor as you go through treatment. And that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. You know?
Ridiculous. With Candid, your treatment includes remote monitoring by the same orthodontist who created your plan, so you never have to wonder how you're doing. You'll always know. And that, my friends, is a gift. That's knowledge. Knowledge is everything. The average Candid treatment, it's literally. It kind of is. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. You'll start seeing results way before then and costs an average 50% less than Invisalign. That's a lot of money. Call to action. Get your mouth spots ready. Are you guys ready to take the first step toward getting your dream smile that you can't wait to show off? Get started today from the comfort of your own home with Candid's risk-free starter kit and $75 off. Go to candidco.com/valleycast and use code valleycast. That's candidco.com/valleycast, code valleycast, for your first risk-free starter kit and $75 off. candidco.com/valleycast, code valleycast. Thank you, Candid.
Isn't it fun how they make you say it one last time every time for like every read? It's one more that it just like, seems. I love it.
It's
I do
because
like
it's
the sound of it.
Slightly unnatural enough that it sticks in your brain. So I think there's a science behind it.
Now if I don't hear it, I'm like, I need it one more time.
Give
I want
to
hear
me.
It one more time. You know what's funny, Joe, about hearing things? Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your roommate or neighbor or significant other or children or dog are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. You know this. And if you don't know it, now you do. But before you drop hundreds of dollars on a pair, we're not even going to name names, check out wireless earbuds from Raycom, why don't you? You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Again, not naming names. And that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, I haven't tried this one, are their best ones yet with 6 hours of playtime. You can get through a lot of Weezer's Blue Album in that amount of time. Seamless Bluetooth pairing, more
damn,
bass,
girl.
And more compact design that gives you nice noise-isolating fit. I got a funny story for you at the end of this, Jeff.
Wait, hold Raycon's up. Did you like the new Weezer song? Do you like it? Do you like that Bill and Ted's Weezer song?
Yeah, I absolutely hated it.
It was
absolutely
pretty basic. It was basic Weezer.
So bad. Hated it. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, you'll never have to listen to that new Weezer song ever again, and you'll be comfortable doing it. what makes Raycon wireless earbuds a game changer for you? They're just pleasant, and I love the shape of them, and they're very convenient to travel around with, if you must know, if you want a personal thoughts on it. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, like a cool tampon. Ooh. With no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls.
Dang.
A cool tampon. The company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg. I'm not going to say that again. Ray J and Snoop Dogg, because they're obsessed with Raycon. They're obsessed with them. If you know anything about Snoop Dogg, you know he's obsessed with Raycon.
I heard that every single Snoop song was just a metaphor for Raycons.
Yeah, it's sipping on gin and Raycon. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon, guys. So get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/valleycast. That's buyraycon.com/valleycast for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/valleycast. Mm. Treat yourself.
You're trying to get all that out before your sneeze.
And I felt it clawing up my throat like a spawn of Satan. Ugh. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/valleycast. It helps the show, and it helps your earbuds. Thanks, everybody. Back to us talking to each other like a couple of buds.
It's a lot like this, but not.
Joe wanted to have the last word. He had to see how he had to have
it. Yeah, I got it. Goodbye. Next thing. Go.
Yeah. And someone who like felt like they'd seen the narrative a little bit, like the story, it has been a crazy year for us personally, as well as professionally and societally, as well as religiously and in relationships. Yeah. So it's been a crazy
just like
time.
Everybody. It was a moment of empathy, I feel like, because you know everybody's got these crazy stories that have basically been 2020, that
yes,
spider web out from your personal gravity 20 different directions. But yeah, it was a very nice. Message. It was very appreciated.
And all that to say, yeah, we're not going anywhere, and that's a very which is very nice, which frees us to talk about this kind of stuff, like a interview show or a board game or all of
what's we want to do more, I guess, is the main point. It's just it's tough to pull triggers right now, and it's tough to do a lot of the things that we want to do because we don't want to launch them over this remote version of creating content anymore, because
it's worked,
and again, props to Kevin, props to Kate. They've been able to, I think, create a very engaging show with what we had to do with your show, and even movie game and stuff like that. They've found a way to take the nightmare technical aspects of it and turn it into something that is watchable or at least enjoyable to a small point. But we also know that it's lacking. The problem with doing this is, you know, there's this weird etiquette of over Zoom or Discord call delay. So thoughts get jumbled. Comedic timing is out the frickin' door. Actually working off one another is hampered and handicapped. So we know the overall voice that we're putting out there is a little bit of a broken version of what it could be.
I mean, I think it's even worse than that, if I'm being totally honest. I think I don't know if you have necessarily, because you've created an immense amount of content over the months and from quarantine, whether it's on TikTok or YouTube or whatever. But like, I feel like the reality is at some point we lost our voice a little bit. And I think the moment we were finding it again, the world got turned upside
down.
And it ruined all the momentum. And then we were just finding where our stride was. And I think it's like, I know I personally feel like I've lost I don't know what my voice is comedically, nor am I even thinking about that. Like, I'm not sitting here going like, well, what's my brand? Like, I could give a shit about any of that stuff, but it's like, you still kind of need to know, I guess.
What we're doing. We should probably figure it out.
I got to say something. But I think once we get in and find our voice again, it'll be, I think all that creativity will start paying off a lot better, rather than just the sense of like, I don't know, blue balls.
Yeah, there's a lot of
creative blue balls.
There's been a lot of like ideas in the chamber that we just couldn't fire off. Like, we'll talk to each other and be like, this is a great idea. And it's like, well, we can't really do that version of that great idea now, but we want to do it. So again, hopefully we'll be able to pull the trigger on some of that stuff. In the meantime, again, we're kind of presenting you with some of the things that we're thinking about, and one of the others, which we've said in the past, but just to be honest about it, it's like, yes, we want to relaunch the Patreon with some new tiers and ideas, but it's being quite honest, relaunching during all of this, I just don't think would have been a smart idea. I think for anybody, like, hey, you're all suffering. Give us.
No, I think, I think end of the year, winter.
Yeah.
Beginning of December, aim for beginning of December would be kind of my mentally thinking that would be an okay time. Yeah. That would feel right, because then it's sort of with, I mean, I don't know about you. I feel like I know this, there's no actual truth to this, but I feel like in the new year, things are just magically, part of me thinks everything's going to be 2021, better.
No, of course, it's going to be great.
Yeah. So exactly. That's how life works, is it is literally segmented into years. That's not just like a frame of reference that we came up with to make ourselves feel smart while we decay. But, that's another thing I want to mention to you. I was going to send this to you over text. I'm listening to this book called The Elegant Universe. Have you heard of this book? It's Brian Green. I'm going to message it to you, man. It's wonderful. And it's explaining string theory, as well as, super strings, hidden dimensions, and the quest for the ultimate theory.
Wow.
It's a little tough to listen.
You're so smart, Elliot.
I know. No. I'm not trying to do, because it's for dumb people. This is for dumb people.
You're like,
and I don't understand.
You're like, I'm also going through the entire history of the Family Circus Sunday comic. So I'm doing both of them.
Yeah. So I will, and some Calvin and Hobbes. I'm going to send you an audiobook of Calvin and Hobbes. But I did kind of understand the theory of relativity for a second.
Whoa, how did that feel? Must have felt great.
It lasted for, I tell you, it was in me for the speed of light, the 600 miles an hour. Do you understand?
You're
how
like,
it
I cried for 7 days. Are you talking about you're talking about when you're moving at the speed of light, how time warps and you're moving and everything else is aging around you? I've had very small moments of understanding it, just like what you're talking about.
Yeah. Just a little like.
But it's fun when you get there.
If I try to explain it, I could never actually explain it, but there's a little moment where I'm like, okay, so that's why time is different than what I thought, and it depends on where you are. Weird. Okay,
it's very cool. Very fun. I like the thought of like thinking that somewhere way out in the universe, the images, the light that's bouncing off us, like our now that is being just broadcast as light bouncing from Earth, and that image, that moment of time, just flying through the universe, hurtling. Like maybe there's some kind of being or something that can watches us in that way, like, oh, there's that piece of life that happened in this moment in this timeline, and I get to watch it. Which is weird.
Are you talking about them looking at us that way?
Yeah. Or like when we see the light of a star, that star could already be dead and died billions of years ago.
Yeah,
and
for
we're
sure.
just
yeah.
like experiencing, we're getting hit with the light rays now, you know?
Yeah, that's a real fun one to really just sit and get high and really scare yourself.
This has been Dumb Guys trying to talk about smart stuff. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
movie game. New shows, things that we want to try, Patreon getting relaunched. In the meantime, just trying to pay a little bit more attention over there. I'm posting more. I'm trying to talk to the patrons more and make it feel a little bit more robust as much as we can doing this together, trying to get through it. So I think it's all positive. I definitely wanted to talk about it today because I think it's all positive. It's just it's also hard.
I think it's literally all positive. Yeah, I think I can't think of anything that's. It's literally, well, it's positive. I would just say it's all a matter of time. Which, have you ever heard of the theory of relativity?
See, I am way off in the distance in space right now, and I'm just hearing the conversation for the first time that we just had.
Our Patreon is getting relaunched right where that star.
Right next to that dead star.
It's when that star is right there.
That's good. But with the Patreon relaunch, something that I'm excited about that I'm trying to do, we are... we're working on taking all the footage from our recent tour, and we're trying to make a special out of it. And in success, we'll offer that special on the Patreon, and all the current patrons will probably already get it, but we're hoping to bring some more people into the fold by offering exclusively there.
Yep. I'm very excited about that. I think that's a wonderful, because it's also crazy that was a month before everything shut down. So it's like...
Dude,
that's insane.
There's no... Here's theories again. there's no way, is what goes through my mind, that we didn't get it in some way, shape, or form, because we were traveling to Denver, Spokane, Washington, Tacoma, and Salt Lake City. What was another one? Oh, San Francisco. Uh-huh. And we were hugging people and high-fiving people, and we were on a lot of planes, and it was right before we figured it out as a society, which means it was kind of already there for a long time. We all had it. We had to have had it.
We all
right?
had to have it. I think we had it.
Had
yeah.
to have.
I do think we had. I think at least Steve had it. Steve came down sick like in an hour, and it knocked him on his booty.
For two or three days straight, Steve was as sick as I had ever seen him. He was eyes closed, knocked out 5 minutes before performing in Tacoma, before the show. He was just dead on the couch, and then he rallied and got up.
Yep. And even then, but before knowing about any virus, Steve intuitively was like, I'm not going to do the meet and greet. I'm not going to hug people and make people sick. And that was a very good move, regardless of what it was.
He did it in Spokane, and he did it in Tacoma. He just like, I can't. And what a good guy that guy is.
Yep. He spit in our mouths.
Constantly.
But,
he plays this game where he asks for an extra key from the French desk mouth. At the hotels, and he sneaks in, and he spits in our mouths while we're sleeping.
Spits in our mouths, It's funny. Yeah. It gets us
I
every
laugh
time.
And choke and laugh.
That's so crazy, man, that we did that tour, came back, did a couple videos, and then shut everything down. Like, that was 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And it'll be one of the last times we were all hanging
out. Dude, I blinked and summer was over. I blinked and I was like, I've been hanging with my kids since school ended officially, back in June, even though almost 2 months before that we were already doing the homeschool thing. It's a nightmare, everybody. It's not fun. It's very hard.
I don't know how you're doing it, man. I don't know. I mean,
but
let me know when you want to,
you can have them,
kill them, whatever you need,
you
man.
You can have them. So yeah, I don't know. Updates on the Valley folk. I got Casey Landerkin working on a poster as well. A fun idea that I had that we'll be offering up in the store as well. So huge discounts for the patrons, blah, 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 blah.
The merch you're working on looks very good. I like it a lot. But yeah, for folks listening, let us know in the comments what you think about these ideas, or you could tweet at us, which is also a way to be seen, even though sometimes that doesn't work either.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned that thing about that person who freaked out. I was also... I don't know necessarily I'll go into this, but I had some haters on the Instagram for someone like spamming my thing. And you know how I do. You know I'm a little
you're not afraid to engage.
I'm a little rascal. I'm a little rascal. So sometimes I engage. And I was like, hey, why are you being so mean? I was like, what's going on? Why are you being like that? Why so what's up? It's not exactly what I said. But
why are you being so mean?
Immediately it was like they were very sweet and apologetic, and I was like, oh, I think everyone is just really stressed out right now, and even people who are coming at us, a lot of it is just like it's a tense time for people.
You let it out. You have to let it out somewhere. And I think unfortunately the online universe allows you to take that energy that you're building up inside of you, for better or for worse, and you get to project it out to people that you don't think are real people until they talk to you, so you don't blow up and murder your family.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Joe, have you been making TikTok still?
I haven't. I haven't made a TikTok since I posted one like the night that Trump was like, I'm taking it away. Goodbye, TikTok. I was like, okay, well, I'll just do a post that's like, oh, this is goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you. And I haven't done one since.
Very good. Very funny. Very good. Very funny. Have you done the Reels thing? Are you doing Reels?
No, I didn't play with it. I haven't been... Hold on. Let me... my movie stopped recording. Let me restart that guy. Sorry, everybody. We're not joking. It's a fucking nightmare doing this type of content over Zoom all the time. Everything goes wrong all the time.
It's terrible.
New movie recording. Thank you. And I am starting.
Not as bad as the commercials, though.
Bam. Yeah, you hate the commercials. What were you asking me? You're asking me about making stuff.
Had any dreams lately? No, I don't.
No, you're asking me about making stuff. I did have a dream. I had a dream that I was playing Fall Guys because I've been playing too much Fall Guys.
Nice. That means that things are going okay, I heard, when your dreams are very real to real life.
Oh, interesting. I've been real good at Fall Guys. No, I think I've taken kind of like a creative, again, ups and downs. It's like creative hiatus. Like, usually on things like TikTok and Instagram, I try to post more out of like I'm inspired in the moment, and it gives me a place to just get a dumb idea out of my head. So it's not wasted. So it's not forgotten. And I usually don't post to, and again, my lack of true success is that I'm not posting just to post. And so I don't think I've just been in mind jumble lately as far as all that stuff goes. Haven't been able to.
Dude, I bought a. Haven't been able to get.
Haven't been able to pump anything out. You know, the inspiration just isn't there, and I think I'm just worrying about other stuff, and that's taking up the mental capacity.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, for sure. I went to the Target today and I got a planner. And I made a schedule for my week.
Oh.
And on it literally one of the days just says post a tweet at an Instagram. And that's what it's come to. I'm like, this is But I'm going to do it. I'm going to be like, okay, here's a tweet, here's an Instagram.
That's the other problem with or the other hard thing, I'm sorry, everybody, about doing what we're doing. Half of you, a part of us is like, I don't think now's the time necessarily to be funny. And then the other half of you is like,
but I'm so damn hilarious, yeah. I can't help it.
But then the other half of you is like, maybe you're supposed to say something because we have YouTube and Instagram and social media people poison in our brains. And it's like, well, if I'm going to say something, it should mean something. So I'm stuck in this like, well, I'm not like articulate enough or educated enough or the person that needs to be saying things enough to be the person to say things.
It's so much overthinking.
Yeah.
It's like we just got out of the habit of doing it. We got to do it. We got to stop. Because you see these people and they tweet nonstop. And I'm like,
why?
How are you so sure? Like, why do you even care? Like, why do you even want to? I don't even have thoughts that I want to think myself, let alone share them.
Yeah, yes, that's what I'm talking about.
But they do it. I think they get to a point where they just, it was like when we did SourceFed and we made so many videos that by the time one does well or sucks, you're on to the next one.
Yeah.
And then we're over here like, we have to be perfect. No one cares. Literally no one cares. That's the other thing about me doing this writing where I do it. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. If I don't care, they don't care. No one cares. But then you end up silent. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Let's pray.
All right. Our Heavenly Father or your Heavenly Father or your Heavenly Mother or our Heavenly Mother. Yeah.
Or we should do a sketch really soon about coming back, and I got an idea for it, and I'll tell you offline.
I love that. Let's do that. Yeah. I was trying to think of some other sketches that were, so distance-based, but I feel like they probably have all been done. So I stopped. And I feel like ours was pretty good, so I'm pretty happy with that, but that was so long ago. It feels like it was yesterday, but I'm pretty sure we posted that in, like, March.
No, I was a different person then. Yeah, I was a different version of me. Yeah. All right, man. Let's get out of here.
You good? You good, boo?
I'm good. For folks listening, this is just friends hanging out venting to each other. So we hope you enjoyed the raw nature of it and the authentic feeling. Did I come off high?
I don't. No. I think you did good. Are you really high? Okay. Are you really super high?
No, sometimes I think I'm just in a good mood and I assume I'm high.
Are you auditioning for somebody
sometimes
that's high?
Sometimes it's both. Shit, I do have to put an audition on tape. Thank you for reminding me. I'll do that tomorrow.
I did it. Screw that. I don't want to talk about that.
No, it's a commercial.
Here's something I'll talk about real quick before we go because I just want to give a little bit more meat. I've been working through the Studio Ghibli films. They're all on HBO Max, and I highly suggest them to you, Elliot, because they're Eastern storytelling, and they really... every story will take you off of your comfort level just a little bit because you are not satisfied as a Western viewer on a subconscious level. And what I mean by that, this is my theory I was talking to my friend about. So I'm talking about like Princess Mononoke, Porco Rosso, movies like that. I don't know if you've seen many of them. Spirited Away. They're worth watching because they're just... glorious animations that are beautiful beyond all belief. But then the storytelling aspect that I'm talking about, which I find interesting, is that you walk away from each one of these movies going, I really enjoyed that, but I feel a little off about the story itself. What was wrong? And then I figured it out, is that in this Eastern storytelling, for some reason, the bad guy doesn't necessarily ever get comeuppance. We, as Western story ingesters, I think we've been brought up thinking the bad guy always loses, and he loses hard. Like, the bad guy dies. Mm-hmm. There's a glorious just, like, loss of everything for the antagonist in the story. Always. Almost always. And in a lot of these Ghibli films, the bad guy or bad guys, there's usually a number of them with ill will or ill intent, they are fine in the end. Like, they may quote unquote lose the point of the story up to that moment, but they walk away sometimes with redemption, sometimes with maybe learning something in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think it's antithetical to the stories that we're used to.
Is that like a yin yang type of thing, or like the evil is, you know, not necessarily, it's you know, not to be cast out, just to be assimilated.
Perhaps, like, it's maybe the intent.
Or, like, transformed.
Yeah, the intent. Maybe you shouldn't confuse the intent with the person or the heart. I don't know. But I found it.
That's cool. I'll watch it.
Yeah,
I'll watch
Princess Mononoke. I think that one is a very big example of what I'm talking about. I'd like to know what you think. Because...
Very...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, after you.
Because even the ending in that, a lot of these films as well, there is a man encroaching on nature and abusing it storyline, like, and the repercussions of that. And that's definitely a big part of Princess Mononoke. But even in the end, that being such a big part, it still goes forward a little bit in the end. Anyways, watch it, and then let's talk about it. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a bunch of stuff we'll talk about. Yeah, that sounds very good. I also watched that other thing you recommended, which
Taskmaster?
Was Taskmaster.
What do you think?
Yeah,
what do you think? What do you think?
It was weird, but it was good. I enjoyed
watch
it.
Watch two more. You'll be hooked.
Yeah, it took a second to realize like what was really happening, but it's a nice late at night.
Yeah,
show.
I don't want to say it gets better, because I think like they're all kind of the same, but like you start to appreciate it the more you go. A season is
really?
Everybody right. That's on that stage. So it's not just like an episode with those four comedians or five comedians in the Taskmaster. It's a whole season. So they come back for another episode and their points get tallied through like 10 episodes and they keep going back. It's great.
You froze there a little bit. They keep coming back each episode, or they pop up like episodes later and there's different groups?
No, for a season, it's the same five comedians for the whole season. So this Taskmaster is...
Oh, and they change the whole time, or change every season?
They change every season. So there's...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like 10 episodes of these guys just getting these random tasks.
See,
it's great.
This is, again, because in the recording, you're going to sound fine, and I'm going to be like, what? To probably a perfect, like, very simple way that you described it, and I'm going to sound like I had no idea what it was. Okay,
I don't know if
cool.
I described it.
I'll check more of it
anyways,
out.
Anyways, that's life. It's crazy. We want to do more, blah, blah, blah. Any other final thoughts, Elliot Morgan?
No, just, I would love to know people's thoughts on different things. I'm very excited. And, but it also, it is a little bit like, do you feel a sense of, like, building up, like, getting ready? Like, I want it to all happen right now. I'm a little impatient with it, I guess, would be my only...
Yes, impatient and holding
thought.
Back hope. Wanting to get excited but then not wanting to get torn down, because that seems to also be the thing that happens constantly, like getting high and then a thing happens. We'll talk about it next time, the thing that brought me the life thing that happened. I'll share that next time. Cliffhanger.
Well, I mean, hey, we have 10 minutes. I mean, we have 15, whatever you want to share.
Okay.
I mean,
well, yeah, then I don't have to think about it. I'll process it with you right here in real time. I got a call yesterday from my dad. And he sounded not good. And
all right, you know what? Second thought, we'll
next week, everybody. No, but he was basically sounded out of it. You know, he's a 71-year-old diabetic. He's had a quad bypass heart surgery, and things weren't good. And long story short, he went to the hospital, and now he has a pacemaker in his heart because his heart was not working. Like, it was down to the point where if he wouldn't have got there, this conversation would be a lot sadder, but he got there.
Holy shit, Joe. So when did this, what did he sounded out of, did you tell him to call an ambulance?
He called a friend that took him to the hospital before he called me, and he was just kind of informing me what was happening of the situation. Oh. And he went in, and the long story short is that they looked at him, they go, oh, your heart's really slow right now. Like, one of your chambers just isn't doing what it's supposed to do, which is happens at that age. But then they were like, gotta get a pacemaker. And that's a scary sentence to hear your dad say. So I'm freaking out all day. And then I start researching it. And pacemaker is an incredibly uninvasive surgery, which is basically an in and out operation now. They don't even.
Isn't it like it's tiny, yeah, right?
They just threw it in through your arm, put it in your heart. They don't even put you out. They give you a little local anesthetic. And then you go home the next day. So now my dad has a pacemaker. And sounds, I mean, amazingly better. But it was definitely a day on my end where the hell that we're all going through as a collective society sucks. But this was one of those things that sucks despite everything else that's going on because you're so far away. Oh, yeah,
that's a separate.
And you feel so helpless. Like, I wanted to, I wasn't there. And I wanted to be there to, you know, get him through this scary moment and comfort him. And I couldn't imagine, like, he probably felt alone going through a lot of it. And it's so hard being away from family when family is going through hard times.
Yep. It is very much, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to have been able to see my family. I was in LA though, when 5 years ago, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, my dad had his heart attack and he got a pacemaker put in. He's got the kind that sends like data to the hospital.
That's what
at night. And so crazy.
That's what my dad has. See, and that's when that's really the point of the conversation I wanted to make. One, I love my dad endlessly, and I'm glad he's okay and he's doing better. And it was.
Yes, absolutely. Thank God. That's amazing.
It was a shitty, shitty day. But.
If you'd have saved it, the worst story till right now, I would have been very upset if you'd have been. If that story didn't
have
a happy
have a good
ending.
Day, Elliot. Goodbye. But that's the thing, is that the surgery is so simple now and normal. Like you just said, I didn't know your dad had a pacemaker, but your dad has a pacemaker.
Yeah, and they'll contact him if they've contacted him like the next day when something that he slept through happened with his heart. Like, it would be an irregularity. It would do its thing. And the next day they would be like, are you okay? And he'd be like, yeah, I don't, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm a man. What are you doing? I'm a man.
All right, cool. Crazy.
Wow. That's
I'm fine.
And has he noticed anything, I don't know, different since having it? Like, or is it just kind of like
he can feel it,
like if it if he shocks him?
He's had a couple things that have kind of kicked him a little bit, startled him, but no, I don't think he's never had any kind of complaints about it. If anything, I think it's like a peace of mind, and he feels much better having
that's the hope. So I guess the point of talking about it's it insane. Was I just wanted to be like, for all of you other people that might be worried about this word or this being a part of somebody that you know's life, it's not as scary as it used to be. And like, even with my wife Heather, she's been like she's been told she should probably get one, and she's kind of been like, no, I don't want that in my body. And then after going through this, I would turn to her and I was like, you should probably just do this isn't that big of a deal. And now we're considering it more because we're a little bit more educated about it.
Yeah, I definitely would. I mean, if it's because, I've heard nothing but very, like, mostly my dad just marveling at the technology and how much it's, how good it is. The fact that it can just, it's crazy. It's just an insane thing that somebody invented, and it's a thing that works.
And now they just go through your arm, and it's just there. Like, the biggest thing is that he's at home now. Like, he's at home the next day, and the biggest,
just chilling.
The biggest thing that he has to deal with is for, like, 3 weeks he shouldn't use his arm much is what they're like just don't use your arm, don't use your arm,
man. Well, I'm glad Marty's doing all right, Joe.
So love you, Dad, if you're listening. Love you.
I love you, Marty.
We worry about you. We worry about you.
We're at the age where we get to worry about our parents constantly. Yeah.
Do better, parents.
I know.
Get your shit together.
What are you doing?
Anyways, that's my crazy life update that I...
Crazy, man.
I dealt
with.
That's
insane.
But yeah, that's it. Tomorrow is school. And that'll be another journey that we'll talk about next week.
Do you need to text you anything or just make sure you're doing okay?
Yeah, I'm sure I'll vent to you guys here and there. It's gonna be fine. It's gonna be fine.
Are you gonna dress up as a teacher? You should dress up in your like Dwight Schrute.
You know what I should do, and we're not yet. There's a lot of things that were stolen from these kids that are going through school these years. Like, we didn't go
pocket protectors.
We didn't go school shopping. You know, we didn't get to go do the like walk through the things and let them pick out their clothes, which is exciting. I'm not going to force them to dress up nice for the first day of school, but maybe I should, because normalization of this weird foreign experience is going to be weird for everybody. I don't know. We're just getting by, friend.
I think you should wear suspenders, and you should wear glasses with tape in the center, and you should talk in a really high-pitched Urkel voice, like a 1990s nerd.
If MeUndies starts making suspenders, I'll wear them.
I know. Pretty much anything MeUndies sends me. Did you get the newest one, ankle socks?
I did. They're very wonderful. Comfortable. I got some dino undies. It's great.
All right.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks
Bye,
for
Jim.
Hanging out. Patreon.com/TheValleyFoot.
We love you.
And see you. Bye.